sense with that scenario. And I think you probably know in general that we haven't. But it's not it's all good. But we haven't just because we've been like reassigning people and chasing out other teams. So what I'm trying to get us to that state is that we're taking advantage of that part of the curve going forward, if not already. So like with Alltel, there's a handset, the VX200, 2000 or something like that, that we're supposed to release to, or we're supposed to release to on January 15 into NSTL, go live February 15 on Alltel or something like that. So that's a case where if we have our games out there, we're going to be able to, like, and ready for that handset when it launches, we're going to be able to take advantage of this. Some of the data that we do know, or we only know two, because Mark Montgomery used to work at Telus. He says that this actually accounts for 80% of the sales of your game. And I'm not sure for how much. He might be looking at that, say, over a period of 6 months. So you're going to make 80% of your sales off that game if you're able to launch it on time for the handset launch. I think AT&T is close to 60%. So each carrier has a different scenario there. And of course, every, like I say, the handset, the amount of marketing they put behind the handset will put variances into that. So, and the thing that sort of came to light from like, talking with Joshua a few days ago is that we're, you know, this term called backfills. So we are catching up with the North American market, but at some point in time, we'll never be backfilling because we'll be launching on handsets and there's a different term for that and what it is, like forward fill. So like we'll have covered everything, all of our games will be working for everything we're going to have them working on, but that's all. And all we'll be focused on is what's the next handset to come up. So I'm trying to embed a lot more analytics into the company. We do some of that now, but of course, understanding whether, for example, making a decision on when we should stop backfilling or stop forward filling in a game. Gareth will probably get much more involved in understanding those curves. With all the different carriers, and then helping us invoke those sorts of decisions. So we're currently now talking about like all the games. So all the games that are on Alltel should be definitely caught up and then forward filled going forward. But then after a few of those launches, we'll then start to have the data, or we'll have the data so that we can make those decisions on whether we should continue forward filling certain games. And I keep speaking specifically to Alltel because I've been looking at that a lot lately, but it applies to every carrier. So certainly at some point in time, we need to make those decisions on what games we shouldn't forward fill. The issue that's been happening now is that we've been making some of those judgment calls on the data now, but it's wrong to make that judgment. So something like a game like Cursed. We did this experiment with Cursed going on Telus, and we found out that if it was backfilled a lot and like caught up, it actually paid off. I think it's hard to say, but it actually probably paid off itself, even though it's making such a small amount of money on Telus. And I can actually show you some of that. Which I wanted to do like this. Some of you guys do have, or some people do have access to this, and I'm trying to find a way to make this data accessible to everyone, so you can actually go in and gain a look at Alltel. Specifically for Peru, you know, I'm not sure if the effect of Phase 10 and THK3 is there yet.
It's there.
We don't really see it. But it's low. Like, we should see it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we see, like, a minor bump it's an extra $40 a day. It's not very much, but that's probably because we're way out on the curve on a lot of the devices that we put it out on. It's important that they're out there. And now I think for those games, all you're looking for at is forward filling, correct? For those two games.
Yeah,
so you should see a lot bigger impact like in February when that VX2000 goes live. All we see from the last couple of days, that's when it actually went live on Altel. It was submitted a couple of weeks ago, but went live on deck. We only see a bump of about $40 to $50 a day. But still, it's paid itself. It's worth doing. And all the effect that you're going to have is growing that. So we're sitting, for example, with Altel Brew, we're sitting at around the $200 a day range, and I don't see why we couldn't grow that to beyond $400, beyond $500 a day. There's a sub-strategy to that, is that Altel is merging with Verizon, and we need just that check mark to show when that merger finalizes that they see Magnic is very good at taking care of and nurturing their Altel Brew account. That increases the likelihood of us transitioning to being a direct, or having a direct relationship with Verizon, and then opening the door to all that revenue. Who knows? They might even say, "Let's see, we'll just turn these games live on Verizon," and suddenly see much. Yeah. Okay. So that, and this is and then there's just that. So yeah. So you just to be clear, like we have this core business and that people here are working. We're trying to secure North America. We are doing a good job of that. That is Java and Brew. And then separately, smartphones. Chris has been talking maybe a bit more about merging those groups. Because those handsets are going up into the same space. You see a lot of touchscreen and high-end handsets now in the Java and Brew world. So those worlds are coming together. That's getting content out that's Magnet content and co-published content. So like Guitar Hero, Guitar Hero Legacy Pass, the hands-on agreement, and whatever potential other agreements we might get into. Those are the core businesses that we're after.
So just so you know, what that means is before we had sort of Java Brew, and then we had the guys in the second quarter doing BlackBerry with this mobile, that's not really the division anymore. Like new games that come out of the internal studio are going to be for all those platforms. Those platforms are not really specialty platforms anymore, especially with the change of Ian McDonald. He's like the BlackBerry guy, moving to the core libraries. It's really a sign that we're going to be training these platforms holistically so that the divisions are basically internal stuff we do and backfill, which is you guys. And the second floor guys, under Ryan, Henry, and Terry, they represent the product we bring in from external studios. Okay, so that's more of a division. Now, traditionally in 2008, that was divided on the lines primarily. Like the work that had come in was always BlackBerry and was mobile. So because we have some expertise in that area, we sort of sent my titles that way as well. But we're not going to do that anymore. We're going to have the titles we produce on all the platforms go through you guys, both for backfill and for QA.
Yeah, so this is the key, like nurturing whilst somehow, and we've got Chris, like whilst somehow being able to be still open to those opportunities that I mentioned, so new games, potentially new channels, potentially Verizon. And there's ways of doing that. When we grow into those spaces, that means growing the people in this group. When we understand the cost of supporting like individual games through this group, it just gives us